Hello, hello, and welcome back or welcome to the Life Without Limits podcast. I'm your host, Yogi Roth, and I'm fired up for this podcast episode. I know it's been a couple weeks, but I've been on the road for a couple weeks. I was in Europe, and this podcast is going to transport you to Europe as well. That's right, and we try to do it every opportunity we have on this podcast. Last summer, we were in Venice, Italy. We were in Croatia this past winter. We were literally on a glacier in Iceland. And this summer, I take you to Paris, San Sebastian, and Salzburg, Austria. And you get to meet some fun people along the way. We kick the thing off in Paris, where I'm literally lying on the grass outside of the Louvre and kind of set the expectation for this adventure. Then we go to San Sebastian, where you get to meet my hero, my younger brother, Ravi, who you may know already. He's a successful actor. He also has a travel series online called Ravi Around the World. It's hilarious. Check it out. It'll be linked in the blog. But the big takeaway, I think, from our conversation is, number one, you get some insight into us as brothers, but he explores the idea of what it's like to be rejected. And remember, on this podcast, everything revolves around the simple question of what does it mean to be human? And when you're an actor, you don't just get rejected once a day. Sometimes it's three or four times a day. And I think sometimes in our daily lives, I know I have to deal with it sometimes, is we can be afraid of rejection. You know, sometimes it's as simple as I'm getting afraid of getting rejected from a wave if I paddle into it, right? That happened on this trip. Or maybe for you, it's, I don't know if I'm going to get rejected by this job opportunity or this person that I'm trying to ask out or whatever it may be. And Ravi talks about rejection like it's just no big deal and part of life. And I think it's a fun takeaway from our conversation on the beaches. And you really get a vibe of the beach. You hear the sounds of San Sebastian, the birds, the kids, and most importantly, the waves, because the waves in San Sebastian and the waves in Biarritz are amazing. He and I had a blast. We stopped and stayed in hostels. We rented a VW camper van. Those were firsts for him. And he got to travel like me, and I got to travel like him, which was really a blast along this adventure. And then the final stop on this is in Salzburg, Austria. And in Salzburg, you get to meet a guy named Andrew Stefan. And Andrew, to me, is one of the most beautiful people I've ever been around. Also one of the most talented filmmakers of at least my lifetime. Andrew's done multiple 30 for 30 documentaries with ESPN, as well as a ton of other content. You probably have seen those 30 for 30s. He did Pony Excess. He also did the Marinovich Project on Todd Marinovich, as well as got a new one coming out called The Year of the Scab, which with his production team. And as an executive producer, as a director, just as a human, he's awesome. And he talks about exploring and travel and story and how they really come together. And I think that he'll nudge you to go get uncomfortable, because that's what he's done the last couple of years living in Salzburg after leaving the U.S. To explore some creative paths and opportunities that he's had. So overall, I think you're going to have a blast in this conversation. I'll jump in midway through just to kind of tie things together. But you get to meet some really special people in my life. And I hopefully, wherever you are, you get deported for the next hour. Maybe you get deported to a hostel, you get deported to this VW van, to a train, to surfing, to bike rides, to free fun, and much more. The only goal on this adventure in the summer of 2017 was to be where your feet are. That's what I tried to do day in and day out. So I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to get out of the way. But welcome back to the Life Without Limits podcast, Europe 2017.
Not coming to you from Venice Beach, but coming to you from Paris, France. And I am right now in front of the Louvre, the incredible museum of the Mona Lisa. Behind me are a couple other epic museums that I've been exploring, and currently I am sitting in a park overlooking both of them. I've got pigeons and crows, it looks like, kind of eating around me. I got little kids sneaking up on me, couples lying in the grass having a couple beers, bottles of wine, people taking pictures. Some people taking naps, playing with the soccer ball. If you've ever been to Europe, this place is magic. And every, I think twice a year when I kind of take these adventures, I try to bring you guys here, just get a feel for it. So you're hearing the sounds of some conversations, some automobiles driving by, a bus. Who knows what'll happen here in Paris, but I am stoked for this trip. Usually, I don't like to be a repeat offender when I'm an explorer and seeking different places, but for whatever reason, this is the third summer in a row that I've been to Paris. The first time was just one night, and it was literally out of a movie. I'll save that story for a later date, because it was incredible. Last summer I came, and it was kind of the prelude to going to Croatia. I explored by myself for a little while. A friend came up with me, who you heard his story, Joey Roberts, on this podcast from our adventures in Croatia. And I had to come back. And I wanted to come back because I didn't want to feel like a tourist here. I had already hit up a majority of museums and tourist spots the first couple times around, and this city, for whatever reason, was pulling me. I think, as I reflect here, barefoot and just kind of kicking it with my camera, a journal and the book Originals by Adam Grant, that I kind of just wanted to feel the art in this community, feel the vibe. Clearly, this is a city built upon love, and in the world we're in right now, we can argue that there's always a need for more of that at any given time. So I wanted to kind of just throw myself into it and be immersed. It also begins an adventure that I'll be filling you guys in on along the way. I'm thinking for this podcast, I'm going to have a couple, you know, 5 to 10 minute moments, and hopefully be able to summarize Europe in one fun pod. But I've got one more day in Paris. I've been here for about a week, and I've just been taking photos, meeting random people, eating at totally different random restaurants, and walking, of course, into all times of the night, and just having a really fun conversation with people from all across the globe. My brother, Ravi, has just gotten here as well, so we're about to meet up, and he's going to come with me to Biarritz. Biarritz is a place that I've literally been dreaming about for a couple years now. The surf is amazing. It's known for its longboard wave. I came across it a couple years ago on the internet and haven't stopped thinking about it, dreaming about it, and yearning to get down there. So it's going to be an absolute blast. A couple surprises for him that I'm sure he'll be able to tell you, and I'll bring him into the podcast as well. But overall, I wanted to kick off the journey and say bonjour, comment ça va, from here in Paris, and thanks for all the love, and hopefully you guys enjoy this episode of Europe, summer 2017. Peace. Oh, and here we are, the Life the Limits podcast. You already heard the open. It was from Paris. Paris was absolutely amazing. And I'm coming to you live from the beaches of San Sebastian in northern Spain. And I'm joined by a very special guest, Ravi Roth. That's right, my younger brother, even though a lot of people have said he's my older brother when they say hello to us, which has been a funny moment. But Ravi, I want to welcome you. Now you are the third member of the Roth family to join the Life Without Limits podcast.
Well, thank you. It's very nice to be here on this sunny little beach. And I think it's quite interesting that everyone thinks that I'm the older brother, but I think it's because of my full beard, whereas you have a quarter beard going on.
Okay, well played. I'm proud of the beard. It's continually growing. But just to set the scene for you guys, if you've never been to Europe or Spain or San Sebastian, this place is insane. You guys know now I love to travel. I'm not a huge repeat offender in terms of going back to places again, but I will come back to San Sebastian. It is an epic beach, longboard wave. Kind of reminds me of Rio and Ipanema a little bit. Packed house. People are here, all ages, all types. A lot of people surfing, a lot of people lounging, laying, kicking it, beers, food, just full-on relaxation. And I'm fired up that older or younger, doesn't matter, my brother is here with me. So I wanted to bring him into this podcast. And Rob, first off, as you know, because you subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes, this is all about seeking the idea and the question of what does it mean to be human. So before we dive into this trip, I want to ask you right off the bat, because you're a guy who's traveled all over the globe. You've been a performer since we were kids as an actor in singing, in theater. Recently, you've got your own travel show that is all over the internet, Ravi Around the World, exploring the gay travel scene across the globe. But what do you believe it means to be human?
Well, I think that question, when you first posed it, and you had your podcast going, you know, I really thought about it, and I think it's such a simple answer now. It's just to live out loud.
Oh.
100%.
What does that mean?
It just means to live to your fullest capacity, to be 100% your authentic self, judge-free zone, and to live to your fullest potential, no matter what that is, and to really, like, go through life with I think the judge-free zone is so key, because so many people judge where they are, where they're going, where they have been, instead of being present where they actually are. And living out loud, I think, is just encompasses everything of who you are, who you want to be, the mistakes that you've made, and going full force, going full throttle.
And have you been doing that? And if so, have you always done that?
No, I've definitely not always done that. You know, I've definitely been somebody that You know, I moved to New York City when I was 22 to be an actor. I think we're very similar in a way that we didn't always have it necessarily 100% easy. Yeah, we were the best at what we did where we came from, but then we both went to highly competitive programs, and I got shot down a lot. I was so used to rejection, I was like, bring it on. But I still had this whole aim of, like, how can I please the table behind the room at the auditions, or how can I make people like me? And I think, you know, I went through a really, really bad breakup, and I was engaged, and we broke up, and I think that really kind of set me free and let me, like, explore everything in my life, from being an actor to sexuality to, you know, surfing on the beach. I mean, I think that I really have grown into myself in the last 2 years especially, and I think that every moment in the last 2 years I've been living 100% a lot.
What's it like to get turned down a lot? Because as an actor, I've always felt that it's the most competitive profession, and clearly we come from a competitive home. As a jock, as a guy who's around sports and high performance, I love competition. But I'm curious if you can describe to people, as we hear like these little kids clapping in the background, it's super cute as kids are just playing games in the sand. What's it like to get turned down like that?
Well, I think that, you know, rejection always hurts. But I think an average person, an average, I don't mean like an average human being. I mean like the typical human being, 90% of people on this earth that have 9-to-5, 8-to-6 type jobs, they go through maybe one interview a year, maybe two. They look for jobs maybe every 2-3 years. And they prepare, have the interview, get really crushed. I mean, I go out on 2 or 3 a day, and I'd say there's been a solid, like, I'm not even joking, because I was super intense when I moved to New York and, like, went to every open call for, like, shows that were just, like, all black people, and I'm super white, but, like, I would go in for everything, and I'd go in for, like, 100 shows, get called back for maybe 5, and not book any. So, you know, I learned early on that most of the time it's not you, and as long as you are yourself and not trying to be other people, then whatever's right for you is going to come along. And that sure worked out for me. You know, obviously in the acting world, I'd like to be farther along than I am, but I got to do a major show where I started in New York. I got to go on tours. I got to play regional houses. I got to do a few TV spots. It's not exactly where I want to be, but it's my own path. And I think that the rejection part of it all, it's part of it. And like, yeah, it's not for everyone. I would suggest to everyone listening that if there's something else that you love doing, do that. But if this is the only thing you eat, breathe, and sleep, then do that. But then I kind of got into hosting, and I got into this travel world, and I'm still performing, and I'm still, you know, I get to explore cultures, and that has really woken me up. But there's rejection in that too. I mean, we've been shopping my show for the last 3 years, and lots of false yeses and lots of rejection, but a lot of offers as well. So it's been a really cool thing. And I think, sorry, I think that the rejection part of it all just makes you stronger, and it makes you tougher, and it also makes you not give a fuck as much about rejection, because it happens a lot. And you're like, okay, bring it. Like, I use that as fuel right now. If I get told that I get told like certain things for shows or for my travel show, I either use it to fuel me or I say, fuck it, and move on to the next thing.
I love that. We're talking high performance here on the beach in San Sebastian, and there's literally this family right next to us, and they're all clapping as their kid, I'm going to guess that he's maybe 4 years old, is literally taking a running start and jumping into a pile of sand.
It's amazing.
Like it's in a sold-out stadium, and it's FC Barcelona versus Real Madrid or something, and he's just living for it. Speaking of living for it, we both live to travel. Curious when you fell in love with it. Because we didn't travel a lot as kids. I've talked about this on the podcast before where, you know, we didn't necessarily have the means to get on planes all the time, so our parents would bring foreign exchange students to us, and they'd take our rooms in the summer, and we get exposed to cultures from Germany to Sweden to Japan to Israel and kind of everything in between. As you hear the beautiful loudspeaker over us here. I'm curious, when was the first time you fell in love with exploring?
Well, the first time I left the country, I'm 33 right now, by the way, and I know that some people think I'm Yogi's older brother, but that's not correct. But I'm 33. I started traveling at 26. My first trip out of the country was to go on the birthright trip to Israel. And that was with a group. It was a tour. It was the Rainbow Tour, so it was a gay birthright trip. And that was really cool. I was by myself, and I met people. And then my ex and I went to London, Paris, and Barcelona on a trip. But I think when I really fell in love with traveling for the first time was when I went by myself. And first time by myself on a plane, and I went to Copenhagen. And it was so scary. And it was so invigorating. And I got lit up more than any show ever has done to me. More than any award or any kind of, like, accolade, any kind of thing that I've ever got in my life. Being by myself in Copenhagen, doing whatever the hell I wanted to do was just the most exhilarating experience. And then I got to do that. I've been to now over 25 countries, and I'd say over half I've done by myself. And traveling alone, you learn so much about yourself, you learn so much about other cultures, and it just, oh my God. I mean, there's nothing better than going to a foreign city where you either don't know the language or don't know any way around it, and talking to the local people and getting their stories and sharing their stories, and especially in the gay culture, because, you know, there's some cities like Bali where being gay, gay marriage isn't legal. You get shunned if you're gay. Istanbul, it's super underground. You can't hold hands when you're walking around there, or you get stares and looks, and who knows what else would happen. But learning about that and then talking to the local people, sometimes it's broken English, and I should probably learn another language, but I haven't. But that makes me fall in love with it, just going to a random place and, you know, dropping into a place having no plans and kind of going off of the local suggestions. I mean, it just makes me... It's like a natural high that I have gotten from no drugs. Not that I do them, but, you know.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to do another podcast, and we dive into your travel adventures. So I want to take people inside here. You go to Paris. You meet me. I'm already there for almost a week, exploring the city. Let's start there, and what's it like to travel with a sibling? I think a lot of times people either want to travel with someone or they're way off the reservation like you and I, and I think that's a minority of like to travel by themselves, but usually people travel with a friend or a partner. We've never traveled together. Finally, we're able to pull this one off. So you drop into Paris. What's your expectation? And take us through your Paris experience and then kind of where we went from there.
Well, I think it was kind of interesting because Yogi and I mean, the best of friends and so completely opposite. But we both have the, you know, innate curiosity to learn about a city. You know, it's just through different lenses. And when I was on my way there, I wasn't nervous, but I was a little like, you know, my big thing that I love to cover when I go to cities is the LGBTQ nightlife scene. And obviously, I'm sure Yogi hasn't been to like the majority of gay bars, you know, outside of LA or New York or wherever I drag him. So I was a little, I don't know if I was like, if Yogi was going to be like, I don't want to do that or whatever. Really, that was like my only hesitation for Paris. And, you know, we met up. It was amazing. We got in an Airbnb. We just immediately hit it off. I travel with like 9 selfie sticks, stabilizer, a few microphones, a few selfie lights because I'm kind of a one-man band right now. But, and he threw me, I think he, you know, when I first got there, I was a little like, wow, you got a lot of stuff. All right. And then once he saw, you know, like what kind of stuff I can capture, he kind of quickly changed his tune there, Yog. But it was amazing. I mean, we walked 21 miles in 24 hours. And I mean, granted, we didn't get to see everything in Paris, but for 24 hours, we saw so much. And what I love about Yogi is that we both can get tired and cranky and hungry and hangry, but we, at the end of the day, we both like live for seeing the city. So nap time has really been non-existent, and we're both down for that. And it was awesome. I mean, we went everywhere, and then I took him on the gay Tour de France of France. And, you know, he went to a few and then, you know, hit the hay, and I went to a few more. But there was nothing on that trip that was like, oh, I would have done this if Yogi wasn't there. I would have done exactly the same thing.
All right, now I told you you would get a couple surprises on this trip. Surprise number one.
So then we left Paris, and so the first city and the last city, I was like, Yogi, we're going to kind of travel as Robbie does it in Paris and how Robbie does it in Barcelona. And then the middle, he's like, all right, we're going to do the middle like how Yogi does it. So the first stop was Biarritz, the surf town, and he goes, there's going to be a surprise for you. And this guy named Smile was picking us up, and we were going to get a car from him. Now, Smile, where we're getting the car, was about 45 minutes away. So I was like, something seems a little fishy here because I'm sure there's a car dealer here, but maybe not. And maybe Yogi just didn't know where we were supposed to go. So before we met up with Smile, we get to the train station, and we get on the train, and we go to our hotel. And I thought we were going to do like an Airbnb thing again. And as soon as we walked into the door, he goes, by the way, surprise number one, we're at a hostel. I've never been to a hostel before. And I was like a little uncomfortable and a little like curious. And it was awesome. It was great. It was like probably in terms of hostels, and granted, I've never stayed in one, it's probably in the top tier of cleanliness and atmosphere. Am I right?
I mean, look, this was a hostel in Biarritz. It was a beach hostel, kind of new, you know, in the south of France. The hostel community hasn't really taken off yet. And I found one, and I knew we were going to get in kind of late at night. And I was like, you know what? This is the perfect time to surprise Ravi with a little uncomfortable element. You know, we just came from a major metropolitan city. We're going to this little surf town. Let's drop right in on a hostel at 11 o'clock at night and not really knowing anything that's happening.
So we arrive in the hostel. Mind you, we're on the train, and Yogi didn't know we were supposed to switch trains. So at the second stop, I went up to the conductor, and I was just like, hey, how many more stops till Biarritz? And he goes, get off now. And so I ran to get Yogi. I'm like, we have to go. We have to change trains. He didn't know that, so I kind of saved the day, but, you know, whatever. Sometimes pay a little more attention to certain details, but it's all good. So we get into that hostel, and it was really cool, except we were starving, and it was only 11, but all the restaurants in Biarritz closed down at like 9 or 10, so we didn't really get to eat anything. But they gave us wine, they gave us shots. I snuck into the fridge and got some bread and some couscous. And then the next day was surprise number two. So we then go to meet... Sorry, I talked about Smile earlier. We go to meet Smile now. And Smile's giving us the car. So we get to the car, and surprise two, it's a van. I'm sorry, it's a bus. It's a bus. It's a bus with a V. Bus. Hashtag bus.
It's an old school VW camper van that is amazing.
I was not ready for it. It also smelled so rancid inside because the people who were staying in this particular van left food inside of it, and I almost threw up. And Smile was missing a tooth, which was just amazing because his name is Smile. And then we pulled up to the parking garage where he has a bunch of other campers. We saw a green one. Yogi knew he fell in love immediately. We switched to the green one. She didn't smell bad, and that was surprise too.
Now, sleeping in a camper van, in a VW van, is an experience that I think a lot of people yearn for. Driving up and down the coast, longboard waves, music, wind blowing in your hair, just enjoying every moment. For us, there wasn't like there was a campground where you pull up, get a camp spot like you do in the U.S., and pay your $15 and have a campfire. This is literally just looking for a parking spot, and I thought we found a pretty good one. Literally beachfront, right in front of an amazing break, so we could wake up in the morning and just get after it.
We might have a very different idea of a great parking spot.
Okay.
Because there was like a little bike festival, and so the motorcyclettes were driving by us every 5 minutes. And my experience sleeping in the sleeper van, bus, whatever you want to call it, by the way, we gave her a nice little name. Yogi?
Chris.
Her name is Cruze with an E accent aigu. So sleeping in Cruze, probably the worst sleep I've ever had in my life. We slept on top, so the roof like extended, and I every time I moved, I kicked the roof, so just black and blue all over my right leg. Apparently Yogi said I took up the whole bed, and by bed I mean bled. Hashtag Vlad. I don't know. Not a bed. The pillows were wet and soggy, and we used my tank tops because I brought some extra, thank you, for pillowcases.
Standard move.
And it was a very interesting experience. Now, I'm somebody, I don't need a lot of sleep, but like I need one thing in the morning to get me going, and that's the C word, coffee. And I can be really cranky if I don't have coffee, but if I don't have any sleep and then I don't have any coffee, then it's just bad news bears.
And that's kind of what we had. But we did also have you in the ocean. What was it like for you to surf? I mean, Ravi lives in the heart of New York City. I live in Venice Beach, California, as you all know. And here we were in literally one of the most amazing surf breaks
in the world. Like, one of the surf capitals of the world. It was really cool. But you know what was really cool was just like seeing you in your element. I mean, for me, I have to hold my nose when I go underwater. I'm a hot ass mess. I can't skateboard. My balancing skills, like, I'm a hashtag not dancer. I'm an actor who moves. Like, the whole sporty element, I like swimming in the ocean. Like, and by swimming, I mean getting my feet wet or up to my waist. So it was cool. I mean, I thought at one point I was going to get taken out. But it was really cool seeing you do it, you know? And we've been really living in Yogi's element for the last few days, seeing him, like, killing these waves. I mean, epic views. The sunsets are stupid. And, like, the surf vibe here is just amazing. So seeing you be able to do that while I get tan and take some pictures and video, it's been really cool.
I love that. So that was Biarritz, which was really a place that I had been dreaming about for a couple of years to go surfing. Finally got it in and then made our way to San Sebastian. And San Sebastian is a place, just Google it once and you'll get why it's so easy to fall in love with. Had you heard of San Sebastian before?
Never heard of San Sebastian.
And what was your first thought? I mean, we get off the train, and a lot of times you get off a train in the city, and it's kind of grimy where the station is, and you got to find your way to the heart of it. But this, literally, I felt like we got off the train, and it was literally you're on this massive canal leading to this beach break.
I kind of fell in love with this place. And granted, I'm not a surfer person, but I'm a beach guy. This is, I mean, other than Rio and Bali, two of the most amazing beaches I've ever been to, this is unreal. This is right up there with both of them.
I love that. All right, so we surfed all day yesterday, all morning. We surfed the morning in Biarritz in France, and then we surfed the sunset for a couple hours in San Sebastian. And here we are the following morning in San Sebastian again, got up for an early surf, had some local food. Last night we had pinchos and just had an absolute blast with one another. As we close this portion of the podcast, I'm curious right now, what have you learned about yourself, and what have you learned about me? So I think it's important for people as they get older. I mean, think about it. We're seeing it now. We're looking at kids all over this beach with their family, and siblings are hanging out, doing everything. But as we get older, right, everybody goes their own direction, right? You take your job, you take your life, and you connect with your relatives or, you know, your family members at holidays. We don't even live within a couple hours of each other, right? I'm in L.A., you're in New York, as referenced earlier. So curious what you've learned about yourself thus far. Trip isn't over. We'll have one more segment of this podcast with you, and what you've learned about me as your brother.
I mean, I think I've definitely learned that I've always known that I'm not necessarily a morning person, but I've learned, like, that how you treat other people can, you know, I think patience I've learned, and really acceptance of the where I am now. You know, I think a lot of this trip we've been looking forward to, like, oh, where we're going next and where we're going next. And today we both unanimously decided that, you know, we're not going to go to Madrid tonight. We are not going to fly to Barcelona tonight. We're going to stay here another day. And it's not necessarily something I even learned. I mean, I think what I learned about you is that we are a lot more similar than I even thought. And I knew that we were pretty similar to begin with. But we're so much more similar in that we both want to go after it, and we both are okay to amend things. Like, we don't have to stick to plans. And we're both out here exhausted at times and just living the most out of each day.
I love it. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to put a bow on it. I'm going to jump back in the ocean. Here we are literally on the sand in San Sebastian, coming to you live on the Life with Elements podcast. All right, and there it is, Ravi Roth from the beaches of San Sebastian. We were in Biarritz. We were in San Sebastian, Spain. And after this point, went to Barcelona, had a great time there. Ravi took off, and he came back to the U.S. And I ended up going to Salzburg, Austria.
and went for a bike ride. And the next segment of this podcast literally just describes what that was like for you and then also introduces you at sunrise, my final morning in Salzburg, Austria, to a man named Andrew Stefan, one of the more acclaimed filmmakers of this era, an incredible storyteller, an incredible adventurer, and a very close friend. When was the last time you went for a bike ride? I mean, really, you just got on a bike and just started cruising, started bombing down hills, ripping turns, maybe even crashing, stopping every once in a while to take a picture, grab lunch, get back on your bike, bomb around a couple hills, get on some dirt paths, give a little skid mark, give yourself a wheelie, see if you can get that back wheel up, hit the brakes a little too fast. When was the last time you went for a bike ride? Did that today in Salzburg, Austria. That's where this leg of this Life Without Limits adventure takes us next. This is the final stop in Europe, getting to hang out with one of my closest friends, a guy who I consider family, Andrew Stefan. Andrew taught me a lot about filmmaking. We met years ago during the Elite 11. It was Trent Dilfer's first year. It was the year that Jameis Winston, Tanner Mangum were co-MVPs of the Elite 11. Learned a lot about him from that year. And since then, been through a lot, from developing shows and pitches to just learning about life. He's living over here now, as he took a job a couple years ago working with Red Bull. And I was a couple hours away, and he said, "Hey, man, come visit me." So I went to visit him, and we walked around all night long, talking, catching up. Woke up this morning, went for a hike, saw the beautiful elements of this city. Remember, this is where Sound of Music is. And he said, "Hey, you want to go for a ride?" I said, "Sure." Rented a mountain bike. Yeah, I live in Venice Beach, as a lot of you know. I'm on a beach cruiser a lot, but I haven't had one of those mountain bikes, those sweet big tires, and you could just literally bomb around turn after turn. That's all we did. About 5-6 hours. Just rode bikes up grueling hills where you couldn't pedal anymore. Down really fast ones where you didn't hit the brakes. And then, of course, give yourself that final skid mark when you can, just trying to feel sweet. I ate it big time that I could make a turn, didn't. Next thing I knew, I was thrown into a bush. Anyway, it's those simple joys that I wanted to talk about in this segment of this European adventure on the podcast. I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes I get nostalgic on this thing, especially when it's one around traveling. So there's one thing I'd urge you to do as we continue to explore what it means to be human, which I believe it's to go for it, but it's also to remain childlike. You know, Buddha always says you want to have some sort of childlike fascination in your life. And those of you that have kids, it's they play with the box instead of the toy, utilizing your imagination. Well, today, when I got low on my handlebars, tried to go as fast as possible, Andrew and I would look at each other and laugh and take a picture and just reminisce on how much fun it is to do the simple things, like my dad likes to call free fun. Went for a bike ride. Overlooking, it's a massive lake here in Austria, comes our final segment on the Life Without Limits podcast. This European adventure you've heard from my brother. In the beaches of the south of France and northern Spain. I talked to you guys after a bike ride in Austria. And now I'm joined by that man that I talked about on that bike ride, Andrew Stefan. Close friend, a guy I consider family. He's lived over here for the last couple of years. And had to bring him in to the pod. First time guest. And we're going to get him again. But Andrew is an acclaimed filmmaker. A storyteller that has taught me a ton and inspired many of you, and you may not even have realized it, with 30 for 30 documentaries, like the one on SMU, which was phenomenal. If you haven't seen that, Pony Excess, Todd Marinovich, that documentary's got a new one coming out. Andrew, welcome to the pod, man.
Hello, Yogi Roth. Good morning.
It is a beautiful morning. We woke up today at sunrise, and can you tell us where we are right now?
We are at Lake Monsey, about 20 minutes outside of Salzburg, Austria, in the middle of it.
What are we looking at right now?
We are looking at one incredible peak, dead center, 12 o'clock, at the back end of an enormous lake with mountains and hills on either side. We are looking at perfection.
I mean, truly the hills are alive.
They are indeed, my friend.
The hills are alive. For those of you who don't know, Salzburg, Austria is where The Sound of Music was filmed. And
I hadn't watched that movie in a long time, and I'm going to have to go back and watch it, but I call this thing 360 degrees of lush, because everywhere you look, we went for a bike ride the other day, you've taken me all over this city, you've taken me into Germany for hiking and jumping in off of cliffs into water. I mean, when you moved over here, did you have any idea of how magical this place was?
None. I mean, you know, I knew that the film was shot here. That's about all I knew of the place. I thought it was a lot bigger. I didn't realize it was as small as it was, and I did not realize it was as amazing as it is. But it is beautiful. It's truly one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
Now, we're going to get Andrew back on the pod and just do a full deep dive like we have on other guests. We dive into your story. But I want to touch upon a little of it. And you grew up in London until you were 7 years old.
That's right.
So your base is over here in Europe. Moving back to live in Europe, did you feel elements of your life kind of tapping you on the shoulder, remind, oh, yeah, this is part of my red thread that weaves throughout my life?
Well, I came over here for a work assignment, lasted about 3 years, so we'll stay out through the rest of the year probably, but coming out, I suppose that there was an element of familiarity to it, not necessarily with London. I went to school in Switzerland growing up for a little bit in the summers. So I spent some time out near here, which kind of broke the ice a little bit because it's very different than everything we knew back in the States. And it's nice. It's nice to be able to, you know, at this point in my life, get back to something that I used to spend some time around when I was younger and reconnect with that and kind of put you back in that frame of mind. And very, very much so a change of pace.
You know, both of us from the storytelling business. I can remember interviewing an elite athlete once, and I asked her a philosophy, and she said, feel the fear and do it anyway. Curious if you felt the fear of moving over here, because a lot of people want to explore. Now you can literally work from anywhere. Sure. And how did you process that?
Yeah, you definitely feel the fear. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter where you live back at home. It's back at home. And I spent a lot of time on the West Coast. Recently, I'd spent some time on the East Coast where I met my wife. And doesn't matter, you know, as diametrically opposed as Los Angeles and New York can be. It's still not Austria. It's not Germany. It's not, you know, a foreign land, foreign language, a culture that you are not immersed or steeped in. And so, you know, I guess it's not so much fear, maybe. It's just you really don't know what you're stepping into. Mm-hmm. And you step into it, you fall into it, and it's tough, and you battle through it, and the million things that don't make sense on a daily basis, and you kind of soak in it a little bit. So I suppose there was a little bit at first, but natural with anything you go into that you don't know a thing about.
So I'm curious if you'd compare this to documentary filmmaking you know, sometimes just not really knowing what's going to be the outcome.
I don't think we've ever known, you know. I wonder sometimes if, you know, if we could ever get to a place where you actually know what the film is before you get into it, and maybe some filmmakers do. I think you definitely, you know, some have a much clearer vision of what they're going to go out and get. I think for John and myself, every time we've looked at a story, like even this one, for instance, about the NFL strike of 1987, And a bizarre 3-week window in which there were replacement players recruited to fill the slots of NFL players. You go into it with a framework, or like, you know, of what you want to tell, but you have no idea where you're going to get. You're so wide, and you just dig and you dig and you dig. And I don't know many people better at that than John. There's a puppy that's up on the bench with us, amazing, paying a visit to the podcast. You're on the podcast, pup. You got anything to say? So yeah, you jump in, man. You jump in and you find yourself. You find what you're chasing. You get a little bit better at it every day. What's up, fella? And you hopefully hit that rhythm and. Yeah, we definitely did, and he definitely did on the film, kind of drilled down and got to the heart of it. And I think 3 years into this journey, maybe a little bit of the same could be said.
Year of the Scab, 30 for 30, directed by John Dorsey. Andrew Stefan, his production company, executive produced and produced it. It airs September 12th on ESPN. We're going to have Andrew, potentially John, on the podcast to describe that documentary in full. But getting back to being here in Salzburg, Austria, I'm curious what travel does for you. Because for me, like, I need to go on these trips as a creative to just work through things. You know, I like to walk alone. I love to write and journal and just literally have conversations by myself walking around lakes or surfing specifically. Curious, what does traveling do for you as a guy who's been exploring, you know, really since the day you were born?
Right. Well, I mean, it forces you out of your comfort zone, always. Hey, we're not talking like are we talking a holiday? Or are we talking about...
I think we're talking about,
in general?
Yeah, just the idea of kind of going for it and getting lost.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. It is going for it and getting lost. It's opening you up to new people, new experiences, really kind of taking you out of what you know and what you're used to. And God, I can't think of it. It lights you up. I can't think of anything better than that. And I can't think of anything I want more than that. So it inspires you.
I was talking in the earlier segment on this about the bike ride that we had.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recall about that? Give the audience your point of view.
My POV of that bike ride is it is the first substantive bike ride I've probably had in about 30 years of my life. I can't remember riding a bike like that since I was a kid. And you feel like a kid. I mean, it's so simple, right? It takes you back. And puts you right in it. Funny looking over at you, getting such a kick at a riding so low, close to your handlebars. You know, your 10-year-old self, living large, front and center.
Why? You know, when we travel, right? And we're talking about going for it, right? Whether it's 2 weeks in Europe, 2 months, 2.5, 3 years. Why is it sometimes when we get out of our day-to-day community, and we're watching this guy just cast fishing rod just 30 meters out into the water. It's perfect out here outside of Salzburg in Austria. But why is it when we travel, it's so much easier for us to go up to somebody random and say hello or jump into the deep end without holding our nose? It seems as though like any fears get stripped away. Curious as a guy who's done it for a long time, A, if you agree with it, and B, if you have a theory on why that is.
Without diving too deep into it, yeah. I mean, I think that, you're not carrying, I don't know if baggage is the right word, but you're not carrying anything.
Mm.
Or in most cases, and you know, anyone from where you are with you into that experience. So you're going in clean. It's a fresh baptism every time. And any of the artifice of your day-to-day life that you're bringing into that, you don't bring it into that situation. You just from back home, you just kind of step in clean, and it gives you a blank page.
I'm curious.
What do you think? What do you think of that?
I 1,000%. I mean, look, I'll go up, and I'm a pretty open dude,
yeah,
regardless of where I'm at. But I got no problem dropping into the middle of a dance floor and attempting to salsa in the middle of Cuba. I don't know if I do that in Venice Beach. Night one at Townhouse.
Sure.
I might wait a couple songs before I can kind of charge a scenario. And I'm always reminded of that. And I'm always reminded, I have this thing that every time I go home, I always go to the Whole Foods in Venice Beach, because to me the Whole Foods is the epicenter of like beauty,
mm-hmm,
because it's Venice,
mm-hmm,
and creativity. And for whatever reason, everybody has their headphones in. And nobody's looking at each other. Nobody's talking. And nobody's a generalization. But there's an element of that. And it always kind of drives me nuts, because when I'm, you know, in a country where maybe I don't speak the language, or specifically their first language, or I don't know anybody, I'm dependent upon connecting and communicating. And that, if you go back to the earliest of times when, you know, Salzburg's started in 800. Year 800 is when this place started, right?
Yeah, maybe earlier.
Maybe even earlier than that.
We know at least the first restaurant opened up in 800.
Right, so that's crazy. So connectivity is not about how much Wi-Fi that we have. And can we double tap on Instagram? So for me, 1,000%, that matters, man.
Yeah, Yeah. But plus you're also, you're seeking, right?
Yeah.
So you're actively out traveling, looking for something. So you're fired up to, you know, open the door, check it out, and drop all pretense at the door.
Okay, so this podcast, as you know, as a subscriber, feel free to rate and review this bad boy on iTunes. And as a storyteller, again, Year of the Scab comes out September 12th on ESPN. Andrew and his team pieced this incredible story together. But you talked about kind of going in fearless when you're a traveler and you're dropping in somewhere new. This podcast is all about finding out what it means to be human. And in season two, which we are in now, giving people some tools to utilize being their most authentic self. As a storyteller and a guy who's done it for a variety of different big-time networks with big-time budgets, big-time audiences, how do you remain pure in your seeking, in your curiosity, in your storytelling going into it versus expecting maybe a certain type of note from the executives that hire you to do it, expecting a certain type of reaction? How do you remain, you know, this is the story that we need to tell, and we're going to tell the most authentic ones to our skill set?
Refine that for me. Yeah.
How do you remain pure to your storytelling skills amid a clutter of a variety of different people that are involved in the story that you try to tell?
I think that I referenced earlier my producing partner, John. John is better than that than anyone I know, almost to a fault, but has an absolute conviction about, you know, again, whether it's the story, it's not necessarily the story that you see when you start it, because you're trying to find it. But when you start to find it, and when you've put in the time, right, and you've been with that story, you're closer to that story than almost anyone else around you, and you've done it in some cases, as we did on this film, for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, that conviction is well placed, well served, because, you know, it's always great to get that outside perspective, and sometimes you do get too close to it, but you do earn the right, after spending all that time with the subject, to stay true to what you believe the story is. Right. And yeah, I don't think there's any other way. And you know, you take that input in, and it's valuable, but you got to stick to your guns, because you know, you are, and as he was in this case, directing the film. So, should be your thing, right?
Right. I love that. Okay, last couple questions. And I know a lot of you have been wondering, okay, how come the podcast hasn't been up as regular as it's been in season one? And I haven't shared this yet, but what I did this past off season is I met with a lot of really talented, smart people I admire. Andrew is the last one that I'm really meeting with prior to really diving back into football when I touch down in the U.S. and get going with Elite 11 in the Pac-12 season. And I asked them all the same question, and I gave them an answer. So I'll give my answer first, so you can think about your response. But the question is, how am I received? And I think it's important to ask a core group of people in our lives as we try to seek out what is our best self, what does it mean to be human, is to ask how we're received. You know, we spend so much time thinking about, this is what I want to do, here's my vision, here's my plan, here's my philosophy, here's my whiteboard, here's my vision board, versus saying, hey, what is actually landing on you from me as a business person, parent, friend, partner, storyteller, etc. So, Andrew, a guy I've known now for, about 10 years? Seven, 8 years, something like that?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
The way that I receive you, and I think it's important to do this, as embarrassing as it may be, I receive you wholeheartedly as a seeker, explorer, and a connector of people and story. Since I've met you, you've just been on this path of seeking really unique stuff, whether it's in a simple conversation. I can remember the first one that you had. You picked me up in Hermosa Beach in your sweet little car 8 years ago. I was this young punk just getting into the storytelling world, transitioning out of football, and you just asked these great questions all night. Man, this dude is a seeker. Clearly, you're an explorer. You've been traveling since you were 7 years old when you made your way to the United States. And I think you have this innate desire to just connect people and story, because you are just this amazing people person. You have the way with words that is magical. So that is how I'm received. I'm curious how you receive me thinking in
that
way of you.
That's a lot to put on someone who doesn't do this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I, you know what? Probably easier with you than many people. I think of you, I just think of one word, thirst. Mm. Like, you know, you want to soak it up, man. And I would say much of how you see me is the exact same way I see you. I think of two words, my friend. I think of purity and I think of thirst. No bullshit. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No bullshit. You know where you stand. And so, you know, you bring an amazing energy to everything you touch. You have an amazing thirst for life, for experience, for opportunity. And you're just a good dude. And at the end of the day, like, couldn't ask for anything better. You're hitting on all cylinders,
oh,
my friend.
Oh, jeez. Here yeah. we are. I love it. Thanks, man.
So that's how I see you. I see you just, you know, kind of in a spiritual sense, just great human being with a passion to soak it all up, to find your way, the seeker as you describe it, and that just puts people at ease.
That's cool. Well, yeah, thanks for that. And I love that exercise. I'm going to do an entire episode on the process that I went through this off-season, meeting with really smart, talented people in all walks of life and going through that creative process of finding out what lands. And I think it's important to do that on a bunch of different reasons so we can then take a direct aim, shot, fire at exactly what we want to go after and chase in our lives. So last two questions on this segment of the podcast. What makes you feel most alive? We ask everybody this.
What makes me feel most alive? Experience. Experience. Just, you know, growth. When I feel like I've learned something new through whether it's travel or friends or family or my wife who teaches me every day. Just, you know, experience and growth. You know you took a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, you know, like, nothing better than that. Nothing better than, because if you're a seeker, as you describe me, right? That's what you're chasing.
Right.
So, I don't think there's anything better than that.
I love that. And the final question we ask everybody on this podcast is, how do you feel about the word limits?
Should be prefaced with the word no.
Why is that?
Because there shouldn't be any, right? Shouldn't be any. As many of the people I'm sure you surround yourself with say, you always push yourself out of your comfort zone. Always, always push yourself a little further. Well, yesterday we were talking, I asked you to do something, I asked you to take it two steps further than you normally would. So there shouldn't be any limits. Push yourself, man.
I love it. I love it. Well, this is Andrew Stefan. We're watching the sun literally come over the hills. The hills truly are alive.
They are alive.
Right now, outside of Salzburg in Austria. I would have never thought I'd ever come to Austria, so I got to thank you for that, man.
I got to thank you for coming, my friend. Not too many people have made it to this stop along the journey, so.
Wasn't on the itinerary, that's for sure.
Yeah, but well worth it, I hope.
1,000%. All right, I'm going to close this thing up here in a minute as we end this podcast from Salzburg, Austria. Europe 2017, be where your feet are. Thanks for joining in on that one. I had a blast dropping into different conversations, and I think it's kind of fun when you're traveling because you can't help it, but you get self-reflective. And I've always felt as an explorer that we go to see certain things. I mean, you guys heard me early on in this podcast. I talked about it being a dream of mine for the last 2 years to get to Biarritz and surf that wave and get to San Sebastian and explore those beaches. But really, we end up seeing ourselves in a much different light. And I think that's the beauty of travel. And to be able to capture moments, of course, with pictures and videos is great, and I love to do that in docs. But this podcast has been a blast to do it in that form because you can even hear it in your voice. It's a different country or a different city or a different time or a different experience, thus a different tone and a different experience that you're dealing with on an adventure. You guys got to hear from Ravi Roth, who, as I said, is my hero. I think he's brilliant as a creative. He's hilarious. But I think anytime you get to connect with the people you care about, it's power. You know, I did it on Life in a Walk, as you guys probably know, in the documentary with my dad. I went to Israel and explored where my mom was. You know, she was born and was raised, and did a short film called What Does It Mean to Love? All of those are, you can find them at yogiroth.com. And then this conversation to be able to go with my brother is pretty fun. So to Maya, our sister, you're next. Here we go. Look out. And then, of course, the conversation with Andrew Stefan. I think it's really important to find kindred spirits in life, people that will, quote unquote, force you to stretch. And Andrew does that for me. I'm going to do another podcast here coming up in the next couple episodes where I take you guys through what I have done this past off season in terms of connecting to people that I think are really smart. I believe you are the company that you keep, to be around people that will push you and stretch you. And I went through an exercise this off season that I'm explaining with you called the Napkin Project. And what that did to me is we kind of gear up now for football season. It's right around the corner. I think you're going to love the next couple of guests that we have as well. I'm going to force you to stretch and grow and think as we continue to explore the simple idea about what it means to be human, and hopefully offer up a couple tools to maximize and become our best version of ourselves. Thanks for coming on the journey. And as always, as we end this podcast, the only limits that we have in life are the ones we set ourselves.